Only 12 commercial fishing captains hold permits to go reef net fishing in the Northwest out of a fleet that once numbered in the hundreds. The distinctive technique of reef net fishing dates back thousands of years as an indigenous method to catch salmon. Its practitioners today say the gear should be the preferred way to harvest healthy salmon runs while avoiding fragile stocks. Correspondent Tom Bonsi tagged along for a day with the last of the reef netters, who are incidentally striving not to be the last.
Bridge!
Commercial fisherman Riley Starks and his crew are fishing for coho salmon using a modernized version of an ancient fishing practice.
Three fish on one. Two, one, pull.
We're on Lego Bay off Lummi Island in North Puget Sound. Those are the solar-powered electric winches quickly pulling up a shallow net strung between two pontoon barges. The small barges are anchored in front of a funnel of lines and ribbons facing the incoming tide, that the artificial reef that gives reef netting its name.
Stand on a tower, you watch the fish come up. When they come over this funnel, over the head of the net and into the net, we simply lift the net up.
Starks is passionate about wanting to bring reef netting back from the brink to the mainstream. He even founded a nonprofit for that called the Salish Center for Sustainable Fishing Methods.
This would thrive. It's a fun fishery.
But more important than fun, he says, is this fishery selectivity. The fancy word for the societal good is reducing bycatch mortality, as in not inadvertently killing the protected Chinook salmon that endangered orcas need to eat.
When they manage, when the other gear types go out, they assume that a certain amount are going to be killed. They assume zero will be killed here.
Threatened or just out-of-season species that end up in a reef net can be easily and gently separated out, like the big fat chum salmon that crew member Roger Kabalik tosses back unharmed.
We try to make sure that they clear the net and escape towards the back.
So that fish was swimming with the wrong crowd.
Mm-hmm.
The strong current carries that lucky fish on its way, but reef netting's fans, they're definitely paddling against the tide. Just one tribal reef net gear remains in active use. 11 non-tribal licenses are being used between Lummi Island and the San Juan Islands, but they're not fished much because teetering Fraser River and Puget Sound salmon runs allow for only about 20 fishing days per year.
I mean, the reason people don't want a reef net is because we are giving so little time. And so we can't really catch much. But we could catch much if we were given the time. It's this catch-22 situation.
Separately, members of several Salish Sea tribes have put on reef net workshops and demonstrations to revive interest in what, for them, is an age-old tradition that's almost winked out. Lummi Nation fisherman Troy Olson was one of those organizers. He says the economics and logistics are daunting, but reef netting must survive.
Today, we see it as a commodity. It's more than a commodity. It's something that belongs in the Salish Sea. It was there, and it should always be there.
The Lummi Nation could potentially issue new reef net fishing permits, but there are no outward signs anyone new there wants to make the investment. Non-tribal commercial licenses were capped a long time ago. Stark says increasing the cap would require either a lasting rebound in salmon stocks or reallocating other Puget Sound gear permits to reef net practitioners.
You have to understand the politics. As a commercial fisherman, you don't want to stick your neck out and say anything derogatory about other gear types. I'm to the point, I'm 72 right now, I honestly don't care anymore what other people think. I know what is right.
He anticipates a long campaign of public education and political persuasion that will probably outlast his own life. I'm Tom Bonsi at Lummi Island, Washington.